Thank you, Pastor Richard, for inviting me today. It's a great, great honor and great joy to be with all of you. To be honest, yes, when Pastor Richard asked me, would you like to, you know, share with us on Mother's Day, my first response I remember was, I am the least deserving person. And I didn't mean that because I'm not just a mother, but it was more because I was very aware that I didn't have a lot of my time for my own mother. And secondly, that I was very acutely aware that I needed to be gentle towards my mum, especially in the areas that we didn't match in our thinking. So with much reluctance, but also knowing that I think God is at work here, He's going to do something in my own life, I said yes. And also as an obedience to God's call, I said yes. And of course, God did work. So we had 2-3 months now. And God has been amazing. I'll show you the story as it unfolds later on, how God changed my heart from inside. So we think that, you know, we have to get down on our knees, and we've got business to do with God. In fact, it was the opposite. It was God drawing me to Him. And we'll look today, the theme for today is be a daughter and be a son before being mum or a dad. And we'll look at what it means to honour our mothers and what it means to be good and godly children, whether you're a child or an adult or a teenager, and for mothers to learn what is God's heart for you. So let's pray and just ask God to help us today. Father God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You because You've given us mums. You've given us mothers who have so sacrificially given up their own life to bring us up. And Lord, we thank You because that's Your heart, because Jesus, You died for us on that cross and You gave Yourself for us so that we could have eternal life. So Lord, as we look to Your word today, I just pray, Father God, that You would help us to understand Your heart for us as children, Your heart for us as mothers. So Lord, I invite You, Lord, speak to each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you might say that it's very ironic that how can children 100% of the time, or even mothers, we struggle with that. And clashes are bound to happen when we have various personalities in the household, right? And you might have even thought sometimes, I'm born into the wrong family. Why her, God? Look at so-and-so's mum, or look at so-and-so's daughter. I know, I'm guilty of that. See, our mothers and our own opinions, our likes and dislikes, our strengths and weaknesses, they can all differ. But one thing is clear from the Word of God, and that is that God allowed that very mum to be your mum. And the very daughter or son to be your daughter and son. God makes no mistakes. If you look at the word of God in Psalms 139 and verse 13, it says, for You created God. This is talking about God. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And verse 16 says, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. So there's no doubt that you and I belong in the right family. And maybe some of you are today thinking, how could God give me a mother who's abandoned me or who didn't take good care of me? And some of you mums are probably thinking, I wish I had a different daughter. I'm just over this, you know. In Psalms 127, verse 3, it says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. So we can be very, very certain that God has ordained a mother and son or a mother and daughter relationship. And God has placed each of us in our families with unique gifts, talents, strengths, and personalities. But God has not just left us to be and determine how we are to live. He's also given us the framework for living as good and godly people. We know that we live in a broken world, right? sinful world where what God created to be good is destroyed by sin. And I don't know what each of your situation is, but God does. And He's the one who brings us to repentance and healing. He renews our minds and our hearts so that we can flourish as daughters and as sons and as mothers and fathers, regardless of our situations. So we're going to look at two things. First, what does God say to mothers or parents in general, but particularly mothers? Tune in extra today. And then secondly, what does God say to children? And then lastly, I want to tell you about how the Lord inspired me to share with you the solution for when we do fail. So firstly, mothers, let's look at Israelites. What did the Israelites live like, and what did God say to Israelites? They were given foundational principles for running their households throughout the Old Testament. And we're going to focus on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 7. It says here, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." That means that we are to do these things at all times. Do this all the time. Why? Because that was how the Israelites would be made righteous before God. Later in the same chapter, in Deuteronomy 6, verse 25, it says, "And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." And then we see in the New Testament, Jesus Christ is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. So through faith, we become God's chosen people. And we've heard that said by Brother Kelvin twice or three times today during worship. We are God's chosen people. We become heirs according to the promise as recorded in Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. It says, "If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So we belong to this same God who spoke to the Israelites many, many years ago. And He speaks to us today. And His heart is for everyone to be found, to be made righteous, and to flourish in life. My brother and I were walking the other morning, and I said to him, "What do you think was Mum's priority in bringing us up?" And he said that we would walk with God first and foremost. And then, of course, we would have good jobs and good education and all that. And I asked Mum casually again the other day, "Mum, what was your priority in bringing us up?" And she said to me, "Honor God." And then she added, because she knew I was speaking at Mother's Day, "Honor your mother and father." But I agree. That's exactly how I think of my mum growing up. Mothers, I'm going to ask you a question. If your children want to remember you by one thing, what would that be? What would that be? You see, one thing my mum and dad fostered in our family is that have dinner together, and then we'd pray and read our Bible every single night. Everyone shared about their day at the dinner table. You know, we would have rich theological discussions and debates and lots of heated arguments. And with that also came lots of tears. But along with that came opportunities to repent, to confess to one another, and to seek forgiveness. We are just a normal family with normal struggles. But when God is at the center of a family, when God is at the center of each of the member of the family, then He teaches us how to love and how to live together. And it's very easy to leave when things get tough. Very easy. In fact, the whole world around us tells us, well, you're a grown-up person. Now you should be living your own life. Very contrary, although I would say, to a biblical model of how to live together. Despite differences, God calls us to live together in unity and love. And that's how we are known, that we belong to God. So is Christ at the center of your family? And is Christ at the center of your own life? If you look at the order of the verses in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 says that these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And then in verse 7, it says, impress them on your children. So before impressing the commandments onto your children, you are to first obey the Lord. You are to first honor God and follow His commandments. You are to love the Lord with and love the Lord your God with all your heart first. So a mother is to model, you know, this to her children before talking about it and teaching it to them. Otherwise, it would lose its impression. And can a mother fail? Of course she can fail, just like you and I can fail. We can't be perfect all the time. There is grace, you know, when each of us fail. There is forgiveness towards each other, but it comes from knowing the God who forgives. It comes from having loved by God and having received that forgiveness from God first. And then we start understanding the meaning of love and discipline and bringing our children up in the truth and knowledge of God. And it can be a challenge for many today. I remember going on the Puffing Billy. I don't know how many of you have been on it. It's in Victoria, beautiful setting. It's an old-style coal engine train. And there was a mum and a daughter. She would probably be around 8 or 9 years old sitting next to me. And as the Puffing Billy started puffing and we started moving, I said to the mum, I hope your daughter, she was glued to her iPad playing games. And I said to the mum, I hope she's going to, you know, look up and enjoy the view. And the mum said to me with an air of resignation, oh, today's kids. And I wanted to tell her one or two things right there and then, but I did not. I did not. You know, who do we blame? Do we blame the child? And do we blame the mother? You know, who put that iPad in the child's hands in the first place? Does her mum know? Did that mum know about Jesus or God in order to instill good values in her daughter? It's a very classic example because we see this happening around us all the time, don't we? Unfortunately, the next line is regardless of whether we're Christian or not. And it's very sad. It's very sad. We also don't have time for our children in this deceptively busy world we live in. So how do we reach and teach our children to live godly lives in a culture designed to make them ungodly? Ken and Betty Gangle give us a starting point in their book called Your Family. They say, and I quote, once we understand our tendency towards sinning and recognize the reality of the battle, we can begin to sort out conflicts and to teach our children some guidelines, to teach in apostrophe absolute standards of biblical morality and ethics without superimposing our own particular interpretations and peculiarities on what the Bible says. The key word here is absolute, something that does not keep moving with the culture tide. And I often grieve when I see our society throwing out the absolutes. So mums, love the Lord your God and love your children. And loving means bringing them up in the fear and wisdom of the Lord every day. Secondly, children. And I don't mean just young children. I think all of us are here today because we've been born to a mother, you know. So it's for us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Who can tell me where that is found? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, and where Paul is actually quoting from the Old Testament. He's quoting right from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. So parenting styles, of course, differs as your child grows. But parents will always be parents, let me tell you that. They have a very caretaking tendency and very protective sometimes. But as adults, we also have a tendency. We think now that we're adults, you know, we want to be independent and don't need to listen to our parents. And we discover that we might even have very different styles and attitudes towards them, or thinking patterns to, you know, from them. And in the heat of the arguments, we start separating ourselves from our parents. Any of you ever felt embarrassed by your mum in public? We see two hands going up there. You know, our image and our reputation in the public sometimes is so important that before we realize, we start despising our mother. To despise means to look down on her, hating her, or saying, I can't stand her, I can't bear her, you know. It sounds very harsh, doesn't it? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22 says, do not despise your mother when she is old. And then Proverbs 15 verse 20 says, a wise son brings joy to his mother, joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. So when we despise our mothers, no matter how smart you and I are, we are fools in the eyes of God. And so my question to us is, who are we trying to please? Are we trying to please God, or are we trying to please ourselves? Why is it so difficult, you know, to reconcile our own thinking with that of our mums? Apart from our sheer differences in personalities, our pride and our hurt and our anger often gets in the way. We think we deserve equality, independence, and opportunity. But you've got to remember that it's all at the expense of the sacrifice that our mothers have made for us, and our fathers as well. And it's very easy to ignore the heart of a mother, the very mother who not only bore us, but nurtured us and gave her own life up for us. And sure, as adult children, we like to make our own decisions and think for ourselves. But my advice to us children today is, do not be quick to ignore the advice of your mum when she does offer it. Listen to her wisdom. Honor her. Paul warns Timothy in chapter 2, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. He says, but mark this, he says to Timothy. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Does this sound familiar? This is the culture that we live in. And it's very easy to get influenced by it. And we need God to transform us, to renew our minds, and to also help remove lots of layers of hurt and deception and anger that might have been built up for many over the years. And it robs us of the blessings that come from honoring our mothers and fathers. On May the 9th, in 1914, in the US, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for, and I quote, public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country, unquote. And I'd say, let us love and honor our mothers every day, even in the private lives. So how do we become as God intends us to? And I want to share this with you because I believe it's the Holy Spirit's inspiration. As I was reading through Jeremiah last week or week before, circumcise your hearts. Chapter 4 of Jeremiah and verse 4, starting at verse 1. If you, Israel, will return, then return to me, declares the Lord. If you put your detestable idols out of my sight and no longer go astray, and if in a truthful, just, and righteous way you sway as surely as the Lord lives, then the nations will invoke blessings by him, and in him they will boast. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judah and to Jerusalem. He says this: break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, or my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. Burn with no one to quench it. I was really struck by that because it shows us that God is not satisfied with outward signs alone, or giving of gifts, for example. His heart for us is to be renewed in our thinking. Circumcise your hearts, meaning turn from your ways and live in truth. The Israelites were God's chosen people. And God had proved to them again and again that I am your husband, I am your father, I am your mother even. And yet they kept running away from him. They wanted to be autonomous. And you'd remember the same way that the sin entered the world at the Garden of Eden. And the very way that the devil still tempts us today to go on our own way, to look to our own interests and our own happiness over honoring our mothers and for mothers to not provoking your children. Paul says in Galatians 6:15, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation, a transformed heart. Billy Graham, in his book, The Holy Spirit, reminds us that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is not many, it's one. It's one. And it's very easy for us to feel good about being kind and loving while giving concession to the other half of the fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, as you know, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I ask God to put in my heart, to put in me, whole of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I ask God for gentleness towards my mother. And I was in tears for 2 days. And I didn't know what was happening. I think it was the Holy Spirit. And God just changed my life. He really did. He changed my heart from inside. I was very convicted of the busyness of my own life, actually. Very busy. Didn't have time for my own parents. And God convicted me of that. So I've resigned from one of my roles in life. It's not a long-term resignation. It's only a temporary resignation. And I'll have time for my mum. And we've made plans to go away for a whole month as well. See, some of you may be grieving the loss of your mum, or some of you might be doing it really tough as a single mum. But I do pray that God will bring in your life mother figures to hold you gently. God is always with us. Some of you may not have Christian mothers, but God can help you to be a godly and honoring daughter and a son. And some of you may not have daughters or sons who are following Christ yet. So you weep for them, you pray, and God will listen. Do not give up. So, daughters, young and old, sons, young and old, honor your mother. Ask the Holy Spirit and He will transform. That's the answer. We cannot do it on our own. Ask the Holy Spirit, go on your knees. And then only can you pass on those real pearls to your own children. And impress the love of God on their hearts and minds. So we're going to finish soon, but I just want to ask you this in closing. Is there anything that God is convicting you of today? Do you need to be more honoring, you know, towards your own mum? And you don't know how. Mums, do you need to put God first in your life? Is there any past hurt that is still unresolved? Now's the time to let God do His work in your life. If not now, then when? So I invite you to speak to someone today. And at the end of the service, come forward. There'll be some people here talking to you. There's Pastor Richard here as well. Anything, any area of your life that God is speaking to you today, do not delay. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, Father. As the world celebrates the Mother's Day today, we pray that we would look to you and learn from you in how to honor our parents in the busyness of this life. And I pray, Lord, that we would not get trapped in the ways of this world that has no time for anyone, not even ourselves. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that in your mercy and kindness, that you would speak to each of us today, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that you would bring healing and you would bring repentance, and that families would sit together, have dinner together, talk together each day, that there would be such open and transparent communication, Lord, that the houses would be filled with grace and your love. So Lord, we invite you in our lives in a new way. And Lord, I just pray for a blessing over all the mothers today, Lord. I just pray that you would bless them with your deep communion, your peace and assurance that you are by their sides. And Lord, for children, I pray that you would continue to bring them up in your knowledge, in your love. That this generation will follow you, will glorify you, and by their example, this nation will come to know you. So, Father, thank you for today. We give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.